welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you in that wonderful name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad you joined me today, and I just want to continue on ministering on some very basic foundations of our foundation as a Christian, and that is on the subject of prayer. And while these might be familiar subjects to many of you that are listening because you've walked with the Lord a while, yet we need to be reminded and refreshed of the simple truths of the Word of God. And also we need to remember that the Lord is adding to the church daily those as such as should be saved. And so we are always having babes among us, young Christians in the Lord who are sincerely desiring the milk of the Word. And we need to be refreshed so we also can be teachers and share the truth to those who have questions, who don't understand. So as I had begun on yesterday's broadcast talking about this subject of prayer, that it's our lifeline to God, I want us to consider for a moment, God instituted prayer. He wants us to come to Him. As I shared on yesterday's broadcast, prayer did not originate with Jesus. It's recorded in the book of Genesis that Seth had a son, Enos, and a man began to call upon the name of the Lord. That's found in Genesis 4:26. And so it really began in the time of Adam and Eve. And Jesus, of course, set an example for us. He spent much time in prayer. He spent a great deal of time ministering on the subject of prayer because he knew how important it was. And so as Christians, I don't think we can ever exhaust the subject of prayer. As Christians, we should be desirous of ever learning, wanting to know more and more about this marvelous privilege and responsibility that God has given to us. I believe our world would be much different. The conditions in our nation, while I know Bible prophecy needs to be fulfilled, there's darkness coming on the earth and gross darkness the people, yet the light of the Lord shall be seen upon His people. And as Christians, we can affect what is going on in the world. I've been burdened more and more that as Christians, we need to rally in not only praying together, but certainly in our own time to get a vision beyond our own needs and to begin to pray for one another, to pray for the church, the body of Christ, to pray for those who are suffering for the cause of Christ, to pray for governments and the nations of the world, for the crises, the things that are happening where God's intervention needs to be manifest. God does nothing but an answer to prayer. We need to call on the name of the Lord. So His hand is released. He just set it up that way. He's commanded us to pray. But now let's look at God's motivation. Why does He want us to talk to Him? He knows He's God. He knows everything we need. And yet He has ordained this way where we would join our hearts, we would seek His face, we would come to Him, and it's not just presenting petitions. It is that's the primary sense of it, but He wants us to come to Him because of relationship. He doesn't answer prayer just to rid Himself of our supplications, nor does He want us to think that we're, trying to force Him to do something or to wring something out of a grudging God. He gives to us all that we have need of. Why? What's His motivation? Because He loves us. He's a God of love. He delights in answering our prayers. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. Now, there are times in which God defers for a time an answer to prayer, but that doesn't mean that he's not heard or that he's not going to answer. Because he's God, because he's love, because he knows the future, thank God he doesn't give us the answers to our prayers just when we want them. We're just so used to the instantaneous, you know, microwave this and instant this and instant messaging. We want things right away. Well, God doesn't move according to what we want or our timetables. He moves according to his divine purposes. Hallelujah. So the fact that we don't get an answer right away doesn't mean we're not going to receive the answer to our prayer. Satan would tempt us to doubt the usefulness and the victory that we have as Christians in answered prayer by bringing hindrances, which in many respects sometimes is quite successful, because what's the effect? It causes many to just give up praying, to make them throw up their hands and say, what's the use? I prayed, nothing happened. It's not going to happen. You see, they're not willing to trust God. Look at all those years. Abraham faithfully waited on God for a promised son. He got older and older, and Sarah got older, past childbearing age, and still no son. All those years, God was promising a son, and guess what? Nothing happened. But you see, Abraham's the father of the faithful. Just because he didn't get his answer when he thought, or got the results by devising his own methods, such as having Ishmael, Yet God was faithful. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. And in many cases, he does wait. So it does require a miracle. So it's obvious that only God could have performed this. So God gets the glory for it and not us. Remember Gideon? I mean, you know, a third of the army went home because, you know, the first requisite, those that are fearful go home. And the victory was finally won when that army, the army of thousands, was reduced to 300 men to show that God himself was giving the victory. So, all right, sometimes we don't get an answer right away. But Matthew 5:45 tells us that God gives good things to his children. Not only good things, but every good and perfect gift comes down from God our Father, where there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning with him. What he's promised, he will do. And it's not God's fault that prayer is not answered. Many times the devil wants to get us angry at God or frustrated or impatient. Matthew 7:7 tells us to ask, seek, and knock. This verse of scripture implies a tenacity, that we should be tenacious and persistent in our prayers to the Lord. The tenacity of a Christian's prayer will be rewarded with an answer. Jesus gave an example. We need to consider this. In Luke 18:1-8, it talks about the widow woman who pestered the unjust judge until he got so wearied and tired, she obtained the answer to her petition. What was going on? She was simply not going to take no for an answer. Her tenacity in prayer brought the victory. So we must pray tenaciously, but also at the same time pray in faith, knowing that our Heavenly Father will answer. You know, sometimes people ask me, or you might wonder when I invite people on the broadcast to share their prayer requests, you know, why do you ask people to write down their requests and send them in so you can pray over them? Well, I'm always reminded of how this little widow woman in Luke 18 received the answer to her petition simply because she would not give up. That was the example Jesus gave. The widow continued to pray long after her original request had been made. And it was her sincere resolve to receive redress for the injustices under which she had labored, and that persistence moved the unjust judge to grant her petition. If the unjust judge would yield to her determination to get redress for her situation, how much more will the judge, the great judge of all the earth, answer the prayers of his beloved who pray day and night? Our Heavenly Father will grant our requests. He will answer the believer's prayer. Now, another thing we need to consider, you know, we have to consider the whole Word of God as we look at this whole subject of prayer. And if prayer has neither faith, earnestness, nor sincerity behind it, it will not be answered. In fact, a prayer without faith, without earnestness and sincerity is really no prayer at all. Jesus makes an astonishing statement in Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. Then he states in verse 24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And in the same chapter, in Mark 11, Jesus caused the barren fig tree to wither, and then he tells Peter that the miracle was due to faith. And then Jesus assures Peter that he also can exercise that same power, that power which operates particularly in the sphere of prayer. Jesus' words were effective. Why? Because they were spoken in absolute confidence in his Father. There was a union between Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father that could not be broken. So when Jesus spoke, he did so without any doubt. He admonished Peter to do the same thing. Have faith in God. In these verses, note that Jesus does not make any specific requirement to answered prayer except that of faith. But as we look in other parts of the Word, other parts of Scripture, and other parts of his teaching, he also sets forth certain requirements for answered prayer. So we're to abide by and in the Word of God. We're to bring our lives up to the standard of God's Word. And this doesn't mean that we can bring about salvation or any of the benefits of the atonement in our lives by self-works, but it does mean that we follow the teaching of Jesus and the Word of God. It means we follow to do the things that he's requested of us. And this we do through his word and by the Holy Spirit. We have to abide in him. His words abide in us. What's an example? We have to love our fellow man, for example. Our lives must be in right relation with our brethren. 1 John 4:20 says, if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. Hallelujah. So that's important to keep in mind. We have to have love in our heart. Faith works by love. Amen. Well, the time has just flown on this broadcast. I invite you to be with me tomorrow at the same time. And if you have prayer requests, allow me the privilege of praying for you. The announcer will give you our mailing address. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.